Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Apologia TV. Coming at you guys from Phoenix, Arizona. You guys can get more at apologiaradio.com. That's apologiaradio.com. I am Jeff Durbin. They call me the Ninja. That's Pastor Luke the Bear Pearson.
What up?
And that is Joy the Girl Timby.
Hello.
We got all of our crew here today, which consists of Carmen, the homeschool woodpecker chief. And we also have the redheaded chieftain, Marcus King Ginger Pittman, on the ones and twos in the back. And we have a really, I think, interesting show today. It's kind of...
I'm excited.
It's kind of current event stuff. It's one of, with one of our favorite people. And by the way, just make a mental note. We've got to bring the team back this time, including Joy this time, to go to the Creation Museum and to the Ark Encounter now that it's all done.
Yes.
We got to see it while I was under construction. Would you do that?
I remember.
Would you come with us?
If I was invited this time, I'd absolutely go.
We'd love to travel with you. We've traveled with Joy before. It's awesome.
Right.
Have we? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Washington, D.C., y'all. So I think you already know what we're talking about, guys. We've had Ken Ham on the radio program before and the TV program before. We got to do an amazing little video with Ken in Kentucky at the Ark Encounter before it was actually open to the public. So we got to see it when it was still being built. Mm-hmm. It was just we had such a great time with Ken.
Yes.
And so Ken is the head of Answers in Genesis. It's a phenomenal ministry and organization. You started the Creation Museum in Kentucky, which you must go see. You have
That's
to.
Awesome.
It is bigger on the inside. Trust me, you go inside and it is like, whoa, it just keeps going, getting better and better. And then also, of course, you need to go see the Ark Encounter. It is a recreation of Noah's Ark. And so, Ken Ham, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, it's great to be with you again.
Absolutely. You're one of our favorite guests. We love it. We love having you on.
Oh, that's because of the Aussie accent. You know, people tell me it doesn't matter what you say. They just like to hear you saying it. So, you know, I realize that's what it is.
Well, I didn't want to say that to you, but that is true.
It is true, yeah.
just you just love your voice. Sounds good on the radio. Ken, tell us, just update us. What's been going on? Last time we saw each other, we were together in the Ark while it was being constructed. We had our nice little construction hats on for
Very
safety.
Very stylish.
Very stylish. But now it's been released to the public now. People are coming in and seeing it. What is up, Ken? What's going on with the Ark Encounter?
Well, it's really interesting. You know, we've really upset some people. We really upset the atheists, and particularly people like the Freedom From Religion Foundation. You know, they have a picture on their website saying they're unabashed atheists. You know, they're the people that try to remove crosses and anything to do with Christianity anywhere from any public place or anything like that, because they want to impose their atheism on the culture. Well, we've really upset them all. Because so many people are coming to the Ark, they're actually going out of their way to try to get the media to say it's failing. And they've actually had media reports printed saying it's all failing. And they're even suggesting it should be turned into a casino, or the American Atheists wanted to move their headquarters there, or some silly thing like that.
Wow.
But that's actually what's been happening. And the interesting thing is in northern Kentucky, you know, the Ark is at exit 154 on Interstate 75, the second busiest north-south interstate in America, just south of Cincinnati and north of Lexington. It's halfway between Cincinnati and Lexington. So sort of, you know, close to the northern Kentucky region, really. And the hotels are just booming. Occupancy rates are up in some areas. They're up to 98%, which is incredible.
Oh, wow.
In fact, we don't have enough hotels, and there are people that tell us they have a hard time finding rooms. Some people even have to find rooms up to 2 hours away. But
wow.
We've had one and a quarter million people visit since it first opened, and thousands every day. Our biggest days have been over 8,000 people on one day.
Wow.
And right now, even though we built the parking lot for the future, you know, we have 4,000 car spaces, means we could take about 16,000 people until we have to get the other phases done. We can't handle that many people there right now, but we actually have done extremely well. In fact, better than what we thought we'd even do, because lots of secular bus tours are now coming. See, we opened halfway through last year through the summer, and we didn't have the bus tours last year. But this year, we've had hundreds of buses. One bus company alone has bought over 400 buses, and they say they're bringing more next year. And most of the companies, 80%, in fact, of the bus companies are secular. And they take them to other attractions in the area, which are also having increased attendance. In fact, a lot of them go, for instance, on a riverboat cruise on the Ohio River, and the company there says their their customers have increased dramatically since the Ark opened. And we've had thousands of people coming in every day. Even now, school is back and people are back at college. But between the Ark and the museum, even on a Wednesday, which, you know, is midweek, we would have, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 people at both those locations. So it's absolutely been phenomenal. But the atheists are really upset by it because they hate it being successful. They don't want us getting the information out there. And they have done their best to try to tell people no one's coming. In fact, they've even done things like this. They sent someone to the Ark in the middle of winter when, you know, winter's a lot of attractions closed down, but we didn't close down. And we still had a few hundred people every day, even in the really cold days. But they took photographs to try to say no one was there. You know, of a Sunday, we open Sunday afternoon, not Sunday morning, so our staff can go to church. And so people have actually come to the parking lot Sunday morning, taken photographs of an empty parking lot and said, see, nobody's coming. So that's the sort of thing that happens. And but the people who come, they're giving rave reviews. And it's interesting, since the Ark opened, museum attendance at the Creation Museum on many days has doubled. A lot of days it's tripled, even quadrupled some days. So
wow,
Northern
amazing.
Kentucky has become the Christian Mecca now of America.
Yeah, that's
praise
right.
God.
Over and above, even over and above Branson, Missouri now, right? Sounds kind of like, yeah.
Oh, we'll take over Branson one of these days.
Yeah, that's right. It's like Christian Vegas. So this is really cool, Ken. This is what I love about it, is that you have this really important attraction and this educational opportunity. It points people to Jesus. It's just grand in scale. We just so appreciate what you've done and what you've invested in this. But there's a residual effect here that I think is such a positive blessing, is that it's blessing businesses all around Kentucky.
Yes, absolutely.
It is bringing in financial blessing to all these people and jobs. It's so many amazing benefits to the culture just from this one spectacular idea that began in your head. And so I think that that's really such an amazing thing. So I would like to talk for a moment with you. We're going to go to a break here in just a moment. I'd love to talk to you about a quick clip that the New York Post put up.
Oh, yeah. That's
interesting.
A good one.
Ken, the New York Post did a hit piece on me, which turned into Metro UK doing a hit piece on me as well. But they did something on you. It seems like anytime Christians are doing anything in the world that has really any impact at all, the New York Post is sure to do something on you for it.
Yeah.
I'd be disappointed if they didn't.
That's right. So we so appreciate the publicity. So we're going to take a quick break, guys. Be back with Ken Ham. We're going to talk more about what the New York Post had to say about rainbows and the Ark. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Mortimer with Apologia Radio. I want to ask for y'all good friends of ours to go on and click that button there and become my friends on the Bookface. Facebook / Apologia Radio. Become my friend on YouTube. That there twerker. The twerker, I want to talk to you on the twerking. And send me out a twerk. What? Wait, what? Twitter. Apologia Radio on Twitter. And also want to tell you, we talk about apologetics and theology, and we do a lot of swing dancing, and we make a delicious chicken gravy. ApologiaRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Apologia TV. That's Luke the Bear. That's Joy the Girl. I'm Jeff. They call me the Ninja. And we're coming at you guys from Apologia Studios with one of our favorite people, Dr. Ken Ham with Answers in Genesis. He is largely responsible for the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. And so we've been talking to him about the Ark Encounter. It is now open to the public. It's an amazing gift. If you get the opportunity to go to the Ark Encounter, you must go to the Ark Encounter. It is it'll blow your mind. It's above your expectations, I think. And so we only got to see it when it was in construction.
Right.
And it's open now, so we've got to go. You've got to go. So, Ken, I'm going to play this for you right now. This is a little video that the New York Post did about you, the rainbow, and gay people. Interesting, the New York Post does the video and says that when you guys talked, well, when you talked about reclaiming the rainbow, a sign of God's covenant, it says hundreds of people took on Twitter to, you know, kind of, you know, put you on blast a bit and say, oh, that's the gayest boat I've ever seen. And it is interesting. They ended that actually rather nicely. It'd be nice if they can share the rainbow.
Yeah.
That was different than how they treated me.
Right.
They called me an extremist hipster pastor. Ken, did you see the thing the New York Post did on you?
I didn't actually get to see it, but there was a lot of articles written all across America about it, actually. And it is true that, you know, when I actually put a picture of the Ark, and maybe explain to people what we're doing, is that of a nighttime, the Ark, the life-size Ark, and now think about this, it's 1.5 times the length of a football field. And from ground level to the rooftop is 7 stories high. From ground level to top of the bow is 10 stories high. This is a massive structure. It's the biggest timber frame structure in the world. And so on the side of the Ark, every night as it gets dark, the lights come on and we have the colors of a rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, right across the side of that Ark. And it really stands out. And actually, because it's in lights, when you take a photograph with your camera, it even stands out even more. And I actually had the Ark lit up with those rainbow lights and did tweets and said, we're going to take back the rainbow because the rainbow flag is used by the LGBTQ movement. And I said, God actually gave the meaning of the rainbow. Actually, God gave the meaning of the rainbow 4,300 years ago in Genesis chapter 9, when he said, the rainbow is to be a reminder when you see it that there's a covenant between God and man and God and the animals that he will never again send another global flood. And so God gave the meaning of the rainbow. Now, it was back in 29 years ago, actually, that the rainbow flag was first used, 1978, the rainbow flag was first used in San Francisco. And so that's 29 years. Whereas the Bible has the Ark given meaning 4,300 years ago. So I think God has it, don't you?
Yes.
And,
yeah, he's the original.
And so when I did that, the LGBT supporters and LGBT people and so on got on my Twitter and they basically blew it up. It was like, you know, like a fireworks explosion. But here's the interesting thing. And I just let them go. They just, there were hundreds of tweets, probably thousands. And I didn't read them all or anything like that, but I did sample them, and many of them were sexually perverse, full of expletives, absolute hate, and hate expressed for me. And here's the interesting thing. I've noticed this in today's world. When you disagree with people about gay marriage, or you say that you don't agree with the LGBTQ movement, they sure call me intolerant and actually they level a lot of hate against me. And I see that in my tweets. I see it in my Facebook as well. They get on there and post hateful tweets. I don't hate them. I've never shown any hate towards them.
Right.
I'm just talking about the fact that the rainbow It's God's. He created the rainbow in the first place, and he's the one that gave it meaning 4,300 years ago, and the rainbow is associated with the ark. And so why shouldn't we as Christians stand up for that in our culture? And so that's what I'm doing. But I just found the people that disagree with you on the left and those that don't stand on God's word, they just do not want Christians taking back any ground in regard to those sorts of issues, because they want to, it's not that they want freedom for their views. They actually want to impose their views on the culture. That's different for us Christians. We want freedom, but they want to impose their view on everyone.
Mm. Exactly.
Silly atheists. Rainbows are for Christians. it's true, though. If you think historically, the story going back to the ark and the rainbow and God's covenant, it's like the Bible is Coca-Cola, right? And the LGBT flag is like Sam's Club Cola. Just,
I thought you were going to say Pepsi.
It's generic.
Which also would have been.
Well, true. I mean, it depends on how you feel about Pepsi, right?
You know what I have noticed, though? When it comes to what God's word teaches about anything, the devil always tries to counterfeit it in some way.
Mm.
And I see that happening so often. And a lot of times Christians just let it go. You know, one of the problems I see in this nation is that we need to stand up for what we believe. And, you know, scripture says in Jude to contend for the faith. And that's what we're doing by saying we're taking the rainbow back. Actually, a number of years ago when we opened the Creation Museum, we actually had a program, a sort of a marketing program, that we said we're taking dinosaurs back.
Mm.
Well, the atheists went nuts. The evolutionists went nuts. It was almost like we had, in fact, some of them said we had no right to use dinosaurs. We're Christians. What right do we have to use dinosaurs? You see, they have a copyright on the dinosaurs, a trademark on them. They own the dinosaurs, right?
Oh, goodness.
Well, no. God created these land animals, and God owns the dinosaurs. And we said we're taking them back because they've been used to brainwash kids in evolutionary geology and evolutionary ideas. So we're taking them back and going to explain them from a creationist perspective. And it's interesting. We had the same sort of reaction. The secularists, they went absolutely nuts. And I got all this hate mail and so on because how dare you do that? It just goes to show you that if we Christians really stand up for what we believe, we'll find out there's a spiritual battle out there. And,
that's right.
And if you're not getting attacked, you know, you need to say, what am I doing? Because somebody once said to me, you know, if you stand on the devil's toes, he reacts. You guys must be kicking him in the shins.
Mm-hmm. That's right. No, very good. Exactly, Ken. When you fight, that's when you start to see that resistance. And there, if there's no resistance, that's a good point. Is there a fight? And is there a fight happening?
You're going to be prepared to be persecuted. You've got to have a thick hide. You've got to be prepared to have hate and misinformation. You know, the secular press continually spreads misinformation about me, about our ministry. And it's interesting because I'm the CEO of Answers in Genesis, and we're the ministry that owns the Ark and the Creation Museum. Whatever is done, even when any of our PhD scientists write articles or we're doing other things, I get blamed for everything. The secularists blame me.
Right. You're the symbol. You're the symbol.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's what it is. And they level this attack at me, and they love to get on my Twitter and put all this hate stuff and all the rest of it. But, you know, it's important for people to understand that we don't hate those people that are gay or transgender or anything like that. I have a burden to reach all of them with the gospel message. And, in fact, it was interesting, you know, when we opened the Ark, I think it was someone from CNN that was interviewing me, and they said to me, Are Jews welcome here? I said, absolutely. Are Catholics welcome here? Yes. Are Muslims welcome here? I said, listen, I tell you who's welcome here. 7 billion people. We want everyone in the world. I don't care who they are, what their background, what their beliefs. We want them to come to the Ark because we want them to be challenged by God's word in the gospel. And by the way, that's what we see. Just recently now
in
the
Ark. One second, Ken. We're going to break. Hang on to that. Okay. Be right back, guys. More with Ken Ham.
I want their faith to not just be something that stands, but something around which culture can be built.
We want students who can think critically about arguments, but also about the culture around them, that can then speak clearly to it, and that also have the ability to influence and shape because of the power of their message. Because that's really what the gospel does. The gospel throws down all the arguments against it. It speaks to the hearts of people, it influences, and it changes.
Wow. Welcome back, guys, to Apologia TV, talking to Ken Ham about the Ark Encounter and all the stuff that's been happening in social media regarding the rainbow colors. By the way, I'm looking at a picture right now.
It's amazing.
It looks amazing.
It really does.
Truly, truly amazing. All right, Ken, so finish up. You were talking about people being welcome, 7 billion people being welcome. Tell us the rest of that story.
And just to let you know, the sort of people that come to the Ark, I mean, it's a whole range of backgrounds and cultures and different religious viewpoints and so on. Because just recently, there was one day where we had a group of Catholic nuns, a group of Orthodox Jews. There was a group of Muslims from Baghdad. And there's also Amish and Mennonite and the people from India and people from other countries around the world. I mean, this was all on one day. And when I go down to the Ark and meet people, very rarely do I find people from less than, say, 6 or 7 countries. And usually it's a lot more. They come from all over the world. They come from all across the USA. And that's what the Ark is all about, to get the message out there. And, you know, as we put that rainbow on the side of the Ark, we're having a special Christmas time at the Ark this year. And this will be our first time to do, well, I presume you guys have heard of 3D mapping. It's sort of like, they come out and they map the whole side of the Ark, and then they produce a video for us. It's animated and gets shown on the side of the Ark, a video projection. It's sort of like what they do on the castle at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And these have been done in places around the world. Well, we're doing one of those at the Ark this year. Awesome. And so when people come from all over the world, they'll be able to sit in front of the Ark, and then the rainbow lights will get turned off, and then the video projection comes on. It's a 7-minute program, but they'll see the water come up. They'll see the animals going on the Ark.
Wow. We'll
have the nativity, and we'll end with a cross on the door. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. But what we're trying to do is to really use the best technology available to reach the world with the message of God's word and the gospel. And then at the Creation Museum, of course, we have the spectacular Garden of Lights, which is one of the best light displays you'll ever see, even in America, and also live nativity and so on. So we're trying to make a big splash, contend for the faith, and publicly challenge the whole culture concerning the truth of God's word and the gospel.
Well, we are of kindred spirit with you, Ken. We love what you're doing and appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Real quickly, as two things. I know, Ken, you didn't see the video we played, but it was funny. The New York Post said two things that I thought was funny. One, they said that no one can own a rainbow, which we all know is false because God owns the rainbow since the moment he created it. And the second thing is they said that the rainbow is timeless. And it was like, no, actually, there is a timestamp on the rainbow.
Well, even they would believe that.
Right.
Like,
well,
I
can say that nobody owns a rainbow. But as you said correctly, God owns a rainbow. In fact, he owns everything. In fact, the very people that said that no one owns a rainbow, actually, God owns them.
That's right.
Because
Amen.
He created all of us. He owns all of us. And that's why he has a right to tell us what to do. And that's why he's a right to tell us what marriage is, because he invented marriage. The Supreme Court justices did not invent marriage. God
Amen.
Did. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to understand, you know, because God made us, he owns us. He has a right to set the rules. And that's why there's so much opposition to us and what we're doing, because, you know, we inherit that sin nature of Adam. And what was the temptation to Adam and Eve? You know, the devil came to Eve and said, did God really say you can become like God? You can be your own God. And that's our sin nature. We want to be our own God. We don't want anyone telling us what to do. We want to decide what's right and what's wrong for ourselves. But we all need to come in submission to the one who created us and recognize we're sinners. We rebelled against our creator God. That's why he stepped into history to die on a cross and be raised from the dead to save us. And that's why we do what we do. And even those people that hate us and show that hate towards us, we continue to do what we do because we so want to see them one to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not his will that any should perish, mm-hmm. but that all should come to repentance, is what the scripture says.
Amen.
Can I ask one more thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Go
ahead. So, Ken, final 4 minutes here. Can I ask you to do something maybe you don't get asked very often? Maybe you have. I am very, very encouraged by and am blessed by what you are trying to do in the world for the glory of God and to leave a legacy. And we talked to you a bit about this before while we were at the Ark. You're trying to do things to point to Christ for the benefit of the gospel and the kingdom of God in the world, but you're trying to do it. You're doing it in a very innovative, unique,
mm-hmm.
and can I say big way? I mean, literally.
Huge would be the right word to use these days.
I know we were prepared to talk to you about this today, and I don't know if you're ready to speak on it necessarily, but What kind of encouragement can you give to Christians that have these grand ideas of like the stuff they'd like to produce in the world, to leave a legacy? Can I ask, okay, theologically, I know it motivates you, right, to do the things that you're doing. But like, what kind of encouragement do you have those Christian to say to those Christians out there that have these grand ideas of things they'd love to do, but for now they're just dreams and they're not putting legs on it? What would you say to them, like, as an encouragement to like go produce, build it, make it happen in the world?
Well, you know, I could talk for a long time about that, and it really involves my whole testimony, and maybe we could do that one day, and
maybe
how
we
all
could.
This came about, starting in Australia and so on. But there came a point in my life where I had to get to that particular point of saying, Lord, I really mean it 100%. I really want to do what you want me to do and go where you want me to go. I think that's something that has to happen in our life. A lot of times we can say, oh, we've got all these big ideas, want to do this and do that. But are we willing, not just 90%, not just 95%, not just 98%, not even 99.9%, but, you know, to come to that position where you say, Lord, I'm willing to give up what you want me to give up. I'm willing to go where you want me to go. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. If you're really calling me into this, I really mean that before you. Because when you do that, and if you can get to that point, God will take you up on it, I believe. And the other aspect of it is, you know, as I look through Scripture, there's always this aspect of responsibility and faith, responsibility and sovereignty that go hand in hand. And so a lot of times, people just say, well, I keep praying and nothing happens. But you need to get out there and do something too, because I see responsibility and sovereignty going hand in hand right through Scriptures. And in fact, to use a non-biblical example, if you've ever seen Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail, I think it was, where he steps out over this chasm and you see there's nothing below, and until he steps out, you don't see the path that's there. You know, Scripture says, without faith, it's impossible. He who comes to God must believe he is, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. It's called risk-taking in the secular world, but we need to step out in faith, but nonetheless, hard work, sacrifice, doing what we can, and totally committed to the Lord. And I believe then he opens doors, as he did for me. And doesn't mean you're without your struggles. You've got to be prepared to struggle. You've got to be prepared to put up with the opposition and the persecution. And you've got to be prepared, like Joshua, to conquer Jericho and to conquer Ai. And some of those battles are fierce, and you don't want to give up either. There are times you feel like just giving up. It's hard work. So it involves all of those sorts of things.
And there you go, Ken.
Amazing.
Man, we love you, Ken. We so appreciate you. And we got to connect to you so we can get out there again and now do another production with it finished. That's Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis. Thank you, brother. You bless us.
Hey, thank you. Anytime.
All right. All right. We'll catch you hopefully soon. That's it, guys. Get more at ApologiaRadio.com. Don't forget to sign up for all access at ApologiaRadio.com. Get every TV show, after show, and Apologia Academy. Catch you next time.